Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen. Our theme this morning is unconditional faith. And you might want to follow this in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6. When you get there, verses 5 to 9 and 11 to 22. Genesis 6, beginning at verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the ground, man and beast and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Continuing at verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it in a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life from under the heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten, and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Dear fellow, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we talk a lot about faith, don't we? That's because faith is necessary for salvation and for living a God-pleasing life. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Without faith, our prayers would not be answered. Our vision for the future would be obscured. Only by faith do our good works please our Father who is in heaven. And it is only by faith that anything humanly impossible can be accomplished. Without faith, miracles are unlikely to happen. As we meditate on the unconditional faith of Noah this morning, we do well to ask ourselves, does your faith and mine measure up to this supreme example of trust in God? Moses here in Genesis takes us back to an early time in the history of mankind, 2,500 years or more before the birth of our Savior Jesus. The human race had multiplied greatly since Adam and Eve. There were many cities and developed areas in the Mideastern region called Mesopotamia and beyond. We find at that time a tragic state of affairs. No longer do people worship their Creator, nor even acknowledge Him as God. Sin is manifest, wickedness reigns, violence is commonplace. Men of God have intermarried with pagan women, and as so often happens, took to their godless way of life rather than staying faithful to the one true God. Society was so corrupt that wicked men, tyrants, were seen as heroes and became men of renown. You see that in verse 4. Good had become bad, and bad had become good. Sound familiar? But not every soul had rebelled against God. At any point in history, there has always been a remnant, sometimes small, still faithful to the Lord God. Here we see it was Noah and his family of seven. Noah was a righteous man, blameless before God, a man who walked with God, who had a close personal relationship with Him. As happens to all of us who truly believe in the God of the Bible, Noah's faith was about to be put to a test, in this case, to an extreme never before experienced by one of God's own. The Lord came to Noah, as you heard, and told him that because all flesh had become so corrupted, because there was so much violence, he determined it was time for justice, time to destroy all that was evil. And sadly, he's talking about every unbeliever on earth. How would he do this? Not by a universal disease, not by war, not by the ravages of pestilence. No, perhaps symbolic of a greater cleansing, a great flood would come. Water would cover the entire earth, so deep that the highest mountain peak on earth would be under 20 feet of water. All people on land would die, all except Noah and his family. Most of the animal kingdom would also die, but God's plan provided for it to be continued as well. In plain terms, God was starting over. Now comes the test of faith. Noah was instructed to build an ark, a huge boat, a ship. God gave specific details on its construction. It was to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high, if you can imagine that. It was to be constructed of gopher wood, which was a hardwood very similar to oak. There would be three decks, and there would be a roof over the top of that. Now, having heard this, what could possibly have gone through Noah's mind? Can we even imagine what he must have been thinking? Here he was in an arid part of the country, today's Iraq, nowhere near a large body of water. The ark had to be built on dry land. It would weigh approximately 43,000 tons when completed. Simply, it would be impossible to move. Where would so much wood come from? How could such a ship even be built? Every part of the keel and most of the rest of the vessel would have to be handcrafted to fit and to be strong. All considered, the task appeared humanly impossible. Add to this the fact that Noah was close to 500 years old when construction began. But examining our text closely, we find no hint of complaint or doubt on Noah's part. He simply had unquestioning faith. Later in Hebrews chapter 11, we find this: by faith, Noah took heed and constructed an ark, becoming an heir of the righteousness which comes by faith. We can easily see why people who don't believe in the God of the Bible or the Bible itself would dismiss this account as a legend or a myth. The mind and heart corrupted by sin is quick to reject the truthfulness of the story of Noah's ark because it is not reasonable. It is incompatible with reality and with scientific thought. It is at best a story that stirs the imagination of children. It is really foolish to believe such a tale, isn't it? Well, in truth, it does not stand to reason. The entire account, the ark, the construction, the destruction of all life on earth by a universal flood, the gathering of two animals of every kind, the survival of eight humans, and perhaps as many as 7,000 animals on a boat for a whole year, all of this is incomprehensible to the carnal mind. It is only by faith that we can even accept this incredible story as true. During the nearly 100 years it took Noah and his family, his helpers, to build the ark, we can only imagine how people must have made fun of him, of the project, how Noah and his family were mocked and ridiculed. The project was so great and so seemingly ridiculous that surely everyone in the region knew about it. Well, Noah took advantage of this notoriety. You know what he did? When they gathered around to watch this stupid project, he preached to them. The text tells us that. 1 Peter chapter 2, Noah became a preacher or herald of righteousness, calling the people to repentance. Well, they ignored him, of course. His hearers turned out to be scoffers who had no intention of listening to the truth. After all, here was a nutcase who was building a huge ship on dry land with no way to get it to float. For Noah, this had to be a time of persecution, a time when his faith was tested to the hilt, a time to depend on and to trust his Father in heaven like few men have ever had to do. But with God's help, Noah did the impossible. He built the ark. He preached righteousness through faith. He remained faithful to the covenant that God had made with him, a covenant that was sealed by love and faith. He took in the animals, and he stored up provisions as God had told him to do. And as we see in the closing words of our meditation, Noah did all that God commanded him. Unconditional faith. Noah didn't question. He didn't doubt. His faith didn't waver in the least bit. His trust, his believing was 100%. His faith was the kind that Jesus spoke of when he told his disciples, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." We had one class in seminary when the professors, this happened to be the verse under discussion, and the professor asked, "Do you men take this literally? Shall we take this literally? Are you going to teach that this is a literal passage?" And we were a little reluctant to answer. When you got a professor and you're the student, you want to have the right answer, and we wasn't sure where he was headed with this. And so nothing was said. He said, "Absolutely, you take it very literally." If your faith is sufficient, you can say to a mountain, move, and it will move. That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? You need faith to accept that. Unconditional faith. Not only did this man of God accomplish the impossible, but being righteous and blameless in God's sight, he had the kind of faith that saved his soul. Now, hopefully, every one of us here this morning can begin to see the lesson that the Spirit is teaching us here. This is the kind of faith we should have. Unwavering faith rooted in love that will move us to trust in Jesus and do everything the Lord tells us to do, even if it seems impossible. Unconditional faith. Noah was 600 years old when the rains began. The deluge that followed lasted 40 days and nights until the entire earth was flooded. For a whole year, the eight stayed aboard the ark, home to the life that would later again multiply and populate the earth. At the same time that God was being just in destroying all wickedness, he was abounding in steadfast love. By his grace and his mercy, he saved not only those who were faithful to him, but for the second time gave mankind a new start, a second opportunity to worship him, to live, to glorify him, and to love all people according to his holy will. Would people now remain faithful to their Creator on this second time around? Well, after the flood, men again multiplied, populated the earth. And once again, there's one party here that hasn't been mentioned yet, but that party hasn't gone away, and I think you know who he is. It didn't take long for the people to be tempted to rebel against the holy God, and it didn't take long for sin-blackened hearts to spread wickedness across the earth. The devil hadn't gone away at all. The perversions of Sodom and Gomorrah once again brought destruction. God sent his prophets to the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel to call them to repentance, but they stubbornly refused, resulting in their destruction and the Babylonian captivity, as you'll recall. And later, as the Holy Spirit had promised through the prophets, the Messiah came, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. His mission was one of love, to take away the sins of the world. But true to history, sin-crazed men murdered God's Son, hung him on a cross, a shameful cross. Today's no different. The human race, for the most part, has refused to believe what a loving God has done to save a rebellious mankind from their sins. The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is denied, is mocked, is not believed. It has become wrong to call wrongdoing by its right name, sin. And we have lived to see with our own eyes the Ten Commandments torn from public viewing. Been some very public court cases over this. And those who speak of them are charged with a crime and punished. There isn't going to be another flood. Something far worse is in store for the immoral, the violent, the greedy, and the false prophet. Isaiah spells it out. The nation and the kingdom which will not serve God will perish. And those nations will be utterly destroyed. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 12. Good verse to memorize. Today, wickedness and violence like that of Noah's time has again engulfed the world. But divine justice and the love of God in Christ Jesus will prevail. Like Noah, our faith is being tested. Our testimony, our witness to the truth, is subject to mockery and ridicule. Society forbids doing what God commands. The arks that we build in Jesus' name are going to be seen as foolish, childish, not in harmony with science or with worldly wisdom. To expose sin is to bring condemnation on oneself. To witness for Jesus in a school or in a workplace is a good way to get expelled or fired or wind up in court facing a lawsuit. The point for us to remember this morning is that we need an unconditional faith like Noah's. Faith that does not doubt. Faith that seizes the promises of God and holds them close to the heart. Faith that trusts completely in the atoning work of Christ Jesus, believing that he paid the price of his life for every sin that we have ever committed. Our motivation for being like Noah comes from knowing that our sins are truly forgiven and that we are free to work, to give, to worship, and to serve, and to enjoy each day to the fullest. You and I won't be boarding any ark as wickedness increases and be lifted above it all by rising floodwaters. We have something far better, the water of holy baptism to wash away our sins. And through a faithful study of God's word, daily repentance, and regular worship, our Lord stands by to protect us from the evil that is consuming our society. There is another destruction coming, one that will again span the earth. But we who remain faithful to God, unwavering in our belief and our obedience, will be saved. Noah had not seen Jesus yet, and still his faith was unshakable. We have seen the manger and the open tomb. How much more should our faith prepare us for the time of tribulation now upon us? Through word and sacrament, God provides everything we need to weather any disaster that may befall all flesh. We have all that we need to ride out the storms of life. Above all, we have the love of God in Christ Jesus. We have the love of one another. And we have that precious gift of the Spirit that gives us the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Our faith. Our faith. God grant us, each and every one, a faith like Noah's. What better words could we hear than, "He was a righteous man or woman. He walked with God." In Jesus' name, amen. We continue with that powerful